work in the vineyard. Matthew 20, beginning with verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. Most of us have never thought about the kingdom of heaven perhaps being like a kind of employer. But Jesus, here in this parable, the way he speaks it should cause every one of us to realize that one aspect of the kingdom is exactly like that. Now, the kingdom of heaven, then, might be looked at as God's corporation. I mean, look at the verse, the very first verse here. Everything that has to do with God's ownership or God's business is part of that corporation. And that means that the earth is drawn into the corporate business of God. Likewise, and you know this already, humans, all humans, are drawn into the corporate business of God. It just turns out that some of them are directly connected as employees, while others are still drawn into the business of God, although they may deny it, reject it, and try to avoid being drawn into the business of God. Not a creature on God's great earth can escape being an active participant in God's corporation. Now, I'm not saying here at this point that they'll be dressers in His vineyard. I'm saying they are drawn into His business because that's just the way God operates. Now, we find that the vineyard in this parable ought to be viewed as the Lord's church. I'll get that out right up front. And if we see it that way at the start of this message and follow through thinking about it that way, I believe God will give us a great message from this subject material about work in the vineyard. Now, in the vineyard, any vineyard that is considered a commercial vineyard or a vineyard of the kind that's been talked about here, in these vineyards, the main business is about grape production, producing grapes, producing quality grapes, if you will. And in the large church, parallel and synonymously, or in the same way, the main business is production of spiritual fruit. You might say, well, no, Brother Myers' main business is getting the gospel out. Well, what is that? That's spiritual fruit. If you're about the business of getting the gospel out, you're producing spiritual fruit, either on the backside in the work that you do in preaching and teaching and witnessing and passing out tracts and praying for people to be able to understand the gospel, praying for people to be converted by the gospel. All of that is spiritual fruit. So you're in the business of producing fruit in the vineyard of God called the church. Now, although we see in our parable that there's no mention here about grapes, the fact that the object of labor here is a vineyard ought to make us think of grapes as the product that is being cultivated, and hence cause us to realize that Jesus drawing the parallel between the vineyard and the church should make us think about the product of the church is all about spiritual fruit. And in the case of the parable, spiritual grapes, if you will. Now, we won't get into the quality of the work of these laborers because Jesus does it. Once they go through that vineyard gate, we don't really hear no more about them until they get paid that evening, do we? But although we won't talk about the quality of the work of these laborers, we ought to recognize that their work involves something about fruit production. That's just a little aside lesson for us, brothers and sisters, to remember that if this represents the church and we are represented by these vineyard workers that get hired by the Lord of the vineyard, then our primary production ought to be about spiritual fruit. Now, some people might imagine that being in the Lord's church is just a privilege where members can walk into a nice shaded garden, speaking metaphorically, and sit down and rest there in the shade and enjoy the beauty of the garden, speaking metaphorically. But that's not the way church membership is at all. If I understand this parable correctly, and as I look at it, I realize that nobody went into the garden that day, into the vineyard, except those who were hired to work in the vineyard. And Jesus drops it right there. I believe there's a reason for it. I believe the reason is primarily this, as far as the lesson to us is concerned. When Jesus sends a worker into the church, or in other words, calls a person by grace and saves them and puts them in a church, it's all about fruit production, so there has to be something about work involved in it. Laborers in the vineyard. So I'd like for all of us this morning that are members of this church to recognize that whatever you're doing, whether you're hoeing or pruning or picking off bugs or examining the fruit or cleaning up the ground or whatever you're doing in the Lord's vineyard or whatever you're supposed to be doing, there ought to be some kind of work going on in your life in the Lord's church. That's the bottom line. Now, I want to say one thing before I go any further, because as soon as you start talking about vineyards and grapes and stuff, some of you good Bible scholars it'll immediately come to your mind that in John 15, maybe you don't remember the chapter and verse, but in John 15, Jesus said, "I am the vine, and ye are the branches." And you might try to make a connection between that particular way he taught about the great connection between him and us. He might try to make a connection between that teaching or lesson and this one. Don't make a connection. Because here Jesus is teaching about work in the vineyard and His sovereignty and how He deals with that working. In that other place in John 15, He was teaching about the essential relationship between Himself and His people. And there are two different lessons, although both are a little bit about vineyards and grapes and so on. But when Jesus used His teaching, His metaphorical teaching in John 15, He was teaching one thing, and here He's teaching another altogether different. It's kind of like taking the sun as an example or a metaphor and teaching by using the sun, teaching one lesson about light, and in a completely different lesson using the same sun to teach about heat. That's what Jesus has done here. So don't confuse the lesson of John 15, if you're thinking about it, with this lesson here today. Now, let's learn from what the Lord's said to us today in this parable, in these 15 verses, and let's see what He really has to teach us. First of all, if we simply take the Lord's words in the way that He spoke them, beginning in verse 1, we see that the man who was the householder is like the kingdom and vice versa. It says, the Lord Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a householder. Now, I bring that up and I keep it in front of you because we as preachers and teachers everywhere tend immediately, as soon as we read this verse, to turn the householder into Jesus Christ. Make Him to be Jesus Christ. That's not what He's teaching. And unless we get that fixed up here in our head and heart, we'll miss a great, great lesson that Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of heaven. Now, in order to help you understand what He's teaching about the kingdom, let me just say this, that we understand and know that the power and movement, motion and activity of the kingdom all functions the way it does because it is empowered by Christ Jehovah. We know that. So anything that the Bible talks about the kingdom of heaven doing, like Jesus is talking about it doing here, because He's talking about the kingdom of heaven doing something. And any time that the Bible talks about the kingdom of heaven doing something, let's go ahead and understand that it's the great power of God manifesting itself in what the kingdom is all about, what's happening with the kingdom, by the kingdom, in the kingdom. So I'm not trying to separate the power of Christ from the kingdom of heaven, but what I am trying to do is make you realize that he's talking about the operation of the kingdom here. And the operation of the kingdom, first of all, as we look at our text, is metaphorically drawn up as being like a householder who goes out early in the morning to hire some people to come and work in his vineyard. I want you to notice that this householder, the only thing that Jesus is focusing on in this lesson that the householder has is the vineyard. Now, Jesus isn't by that saying, well, this householder had nothing but a vineyard. He lived in his vineyard. He slept in his vineyard. He ate in his vineyard. Anything he did was in his vineyard. He didn't even have a backyard to walk around in or sit in the shade in. He just had a vineyard. He didn't say that. But what he does do is focus on this householder's vineyard. And the kingdom of heaven is like a man who owns a vineyard and goes out early in the morning to hire servants to work in the vineyard. Says nothing at all about the rest of the stuff that the kingdom of heaven encompasses. And believe me, brothers and sisters, the kingdom of heaven encompasses more than the Lord's church. Now, there's a lot of good Baptist preachers that would argue with me about that. But I tell you a truth, that if we take the whole teaching about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven into account from the Bible, you'll discover and understand that the kingdom of heaven is God's ruling, God's rulership, God's kingdom, if you will. And it encompasses everything. Everything. Now, some people don't like me to say that it encompasses everything, but because they say, well, are you telling me that God's kingdom is made up and it has in it lost people? Yes, I am. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus told about the end time and he said that the Son of Man was going to come and have his angels to gather up his people, and what he said he was going to have done at that point was he was going to have everything grabbed up, drugged together, and he was going to separate the good from the bad and cast that which is bad out of the kingdom. Now, how could there be any bad cast out of the kingdom if there weren't any bad there in the first place? Think about the magnitude of God. God's big, brothers and sisters. He's enormous. And I don't mean some great big guy. I mean he is enormous in capacity, in power, in rulership. And to think that the only thing he can rule is the Lord's church is making God small. He's big enough to rule the whole universe. And he does. Heaven and the heavens of heaven cannot hold him. He rules it all. And so, when we look at the kingdom of heaven and its action, Jesus wants us to focus on the fact that the kingdom of heaven and its operation that's of interest to us in this lesson is like a householder who went out early in the morning to hire some folks to work in his vineyard. What does this teach us spiritually? Well, I think the first thing that teaches us, notice that it says he went out early in the morning because that's our start point. I think the first thing it teaches us is that from the very beginning of things, the Lord God of grace intended to stock his church with people who would tend to the things in it that needed tending to. And I think that's why he could say with confidence in the 28th of Matthew, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age, end of the world. He could say that because he knew he was going to tend to it, to supervise it, to provide laborers for the vineyard. And so, the Lord Jesus intended from the beginning to make sure there are laborers for the vineyard. Now, as I mentioned at the start up, in the vineyard, There is hoeing, there is pruning, there's weeding to do, there's watering of the things in the vineyard to do, there's fertilizing to do, there's getting rid of pests to be done. All these things happen in a vineyard. And there are parallel things that happen in the Lord's church that are always there to be done. Now, I won't go into the types that these might represent because we don't have time. But just pointing out that if we understand verse 1 correctly, then the Lord has always intended to stock His church with people that would tend to the very things that are being done or are supposed to be done in it. When out early in the morning. I think that's a metaphorical way of the Lord saying, from the start. Right at the start of the early church, we know that He provisioned it with the apostles first. Then He had pastors and teachers and all kinds of things were going on, and all kinds of people had all kinds of gifts that they were using for all kinds of glory to God in the early church in the first century, and it's still that way today. The Lord stocks His church. Now let's go to verse 2. And when He had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, He sent them into His vineyard. I want you to notice here in this verse that there's no discussion in Jesus' parable. There's no discussion by the Lord of the vineyard about how He agreed with those laborers on how much the pay would be. It just says He agreed with them for a penny a day. There seems to be some kind of collaboration, though, doesn't there? I mean, in other words, if you looked at that and you kind of thought about it in today's terms, you'd figure out and say you were within yourself, probably. Well, they talked about what the pay was going to be. And both parties agreed to it. The Lord of the vineyard agreed to it, and the workers who were going into the vineyard agreed to it. That's exactly the way we ought to see it. Because I believe that's exactly what He's teaching us in this parable. Now that's important because sometimes we as Baptists, and especially as Sovereign Grace Baptists, are accused of preaching that human beings that belong to God are just automatons. They're robots that just do things as God pulls the strings for them. We don't teach any such thing. And here, certainly in this parable, Jesus didn't teach that. I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. Our Lent study at night, if nothing else, it taught nothing else to you, it ought to be teaching you that what we do in our work in the kingdom and being submissive and obedient to Jesus is all about co-partnering. It's all about collaboration, cooperation. And that's one of the things He's teaching here. He gets these employees, these people, He hires them, and they agree with this vineyard owner for a penny a day. And after the agreement, He sent them into the garden or into the vineyard. Now, what this ought to teach us then is that the Lord does not draft people into the Christian labor that's available for them to do. If you don't want to do work for the Lord, He's not going to do like they used to do. We don't still have a draft, so this. But some of us that are older remember when you turned 18, you went down to the selective service, you filed, and sometime or another they said, "Hey, get up here, you're a soldier now." And that was it. You didn't say, "Oh, wait, I don't really want to go." They wouldn't let you do that. It's called the draft. Well, we want to realize that Jesus does not draft His people to labor in the vineyard. Once you're approached about labor, there's a little bit different thing happens, but He doesn't draft you. So God's people ought to realize that when it's time to do the work of the Lord in His vineyard, you ought to volunteer for it. Because Christ is approaching you with a deal, if you will, a spiritual deal in which He's saying, "I have this to be done, and I am going to honor you by presenting it to you as something you can do. And as God's people, when we feel that movement of the Spirit presenting to us an opportunity to labor in the Lord's church, we ought to jump on it and not try to avoid it. Now, I also noticed that this parable doesn't say anything about other people besides laborers, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, being led into the vineyard. And I want to go across that again, because this suggests that if go back to verse 1 now, and remember that this operation is being done by the motions, the empowerment of the kingdom of heaven. So what this teaches us is if someone is brought into the membership of the Lord's church by the powerful movement of the force of the kingdom of heaven, by Jesus' power, if you will, if they're brought into the Lord's church under this power, not by some other power, then what we see when this happens, and when a person is brought in this way, then they are laborers. I know you may get tired of me emphasizing that, but I need to emphasize it more and more. Now, Paul mentioned something akin to this when he was talking about his own labor in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians 9:17. He wrote to the church at Corinth there about his labor, and he said, For if I do this thing willingly, this thing of preaching the gospel that I'm doing, that I have as my labor, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. He teaches us something there we need to learn. And then I'll look at the second thing that he teaches in just a second. He teaches us that if we willingly volunteer to work for the Lord in His church, that's how we get the reward. The penny doesn't get paid. If there would be a way to go into the vineyard and sit down under a thick grapevine and let everybody else do the work, there's no reward promised. Paul says, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But listen to me, brothers and sisters, because there's more to this process of the kingdom's power calling you as a laborer into the Lord's church. He goes on to say this in the same verse, but if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What's he saying there? He's saying the Lord put him in his church to do work. And if he does it willingly, he gets a reward. But if he doesn't do it willingly, there's a compelling power that will drag him along to it and deal with him about it if he doesn't do it. So let's be aware that every one of us ought to view our membership in the Lord's church as a sign from God that we have been sent into the vineyard to work. And let's get willing about it and see what we can do. It may only be a small thing in the estimation of some, or in your estimation, it may only be a small thing. But I want to tell you something. There are no small things with God. And as Paul teaches us so well in the Corinthian letter, there's not a single member of one of the Lord's churches that isn't essential to the function of that church. I'm talking about real members that were brought in by the power of the kingdom's work, by the power of Christ, if you will. Now, I believe when God's people are saved, I believe they set the stage for a contract with the Lord to do His work in the place where He puts them. The one thing I know about every one of us that were truly saved is on that great day when the Lord saved us, brought us the realization of His saving power and brought us the realization of the knowledge of our salvation, we wanted to do anything for the Lord that He wanted us to do. We made a contract with Him right there. We really did. Now, Did we keep the contract or not? Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But what I'm presenting to you is the concept and the idea that you made a contract with the Lord in your salvation, and that means that you contracted as a laborer. I don't find any other kind of contracts in this parable. Do you? Just a contract that to work for a certain thing in the vineyard. That's the point. Let's go on to verse 3, and this is maybe about as far as we get today. Verse 3. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. Now, there's a lot of things we could say about this. We could talk about the fact that this parable represents life stages of a human, from youth, early in the morning, to middle age, about the third hour, to old age, about the 11th hour. But and it'll lend itself to that kind of message, that kind of teaching. But I'm teaching about times as it relates to these hours. Times in history and times in the present. And that's the lesson I'm going to be teaching in this. Now, when you look at this verse 3, notice then that he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And let us read verses 4 and 5 along with it so we can make the connection. And said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way into the vineyard. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hours and did likewise. Notice he covers third, sixth, and ninth hours. The main lesson I want us to get out of that is this, or one of the main lessons, is the power that manages the kingdom of heaven, which calls men into the kingdom work, calls men to go work in the Lord's church, did not end after the first century. It's still going on, and at this point in our message, we're midway, if you will, and coming close toward the end. The end, I think, is represented by the 11th hour, which we'll look at on our next go-round. But here at this point, he went out the third, the sixth, and the ninth hour, and he found people not working, and he agreed with them to go into the vineyard and work, and whatever was fair, he would pay them that amount. So the Lord Jesus has been at work since the very first time that he revealed the kingdom's work to mankind through John the Baptist in the first century A.D., and he's still doing that. At this point in our message, he was still bringing workers into the vineyard. Always has been. Always will be. Now, there's one other interesting aspect of this, the wording of this parable that Jesus used, that I want to bring to your attention, because I think it's critical that we understand. And you know, Jesus, you'll notice, those of you that really study the messages of Christ have come to realize that He has layered lessons. You read it and there's a lesson. And then you go back a month or two later and read it again, and behold, there's another lesson underneath that one. And then a year or two later you read it again, and look, there's another lesson I didn't see the first and second time around. Well, this is one of those layered lessons. And I want you to notice that he makes Jewish use, or use of the Jewish recognition of the third, sixth, and ninth hours. What could be important about that for a Gentile student down the road almost 2,000 years later? I'll tell you what's important about it. The third, the sixth, and the ninth hours in Jewish tradition were hours of set aside for prayer. Now think with me about this parable and the metaphors. And realize that I believe Jesus taught us an underlying lesson in this overarching lesson. And what he teaches us in these verses here, 3, 4, and 5, I believe is this. that our Lord has things rigged up in such a way in unfolding His spiritual things that He elects to bring forth and out and into active service laborers for His vineyard, members that are going to be laborers in His church during times of dedicated prayer. Third, sixth, ninth hour. And what I'd like to say is I believe that the Lord's teaching us here that when God's people get serious about praying for adding to the church, for giving laborers for the harvest, and that kind of thing, those are actually the times the Lord does it. He's got it set up in such a way that He has agreed in His sovereign will that when God's people get really serious about praying for additions and for the upbuilding of the church, He starts doing it. Don't ask me how that works. We'll talk to Him about that in eternity. But I believe here and elsewhere, He teaches us that's exactly the way it works. Now, what does that say about us today? Could that be the answer to the decreasing numbers, decreasing spiritual life, and so forth of our churches, of the Lord's churches? I believe it could. I believe it may be the answer. I believe we ought to be incited, inspired to say, well, look, if the Lord's hinging, adding to His church and building it up by having laborers in it because God's people are getting serious about praying, that ought to maybe incite us to get busy and serious about praying about it. We could try it. We could put it to the test. And I believe we'd prove the truth of the underlying lesson of the parable of the kingdom related to the vineyard owner, and the laborers or workers in the vineyard. Let's stand. Let's have an invitation number. Maybe the Lord's spoken to you about something this morning. Maybe you should be a laborer in the Lord's vineyard, and you're not. Maybe the Lord's been speaking to you about membership. Whatever the Lord may speak to you about, we want to invite you to share it with us. But most of all, whatever the Lord guides you to in your life, get right. It's real easy. Just acknowledge it before Him. Take that first step of faith and do it. Now, for those of you that are lost, Brother James so aptly pointed out this morning in the Sunday school lesson, you can't do anything without the power of God. But you know what? God has made it very plain that those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So He doesn't leave you stranded out there with no hope, no help, no way to get there. You call upon God. If the Lord incites you to call upon Him, I can tell you and promise you one thing. He'll save you.